do you get God to show up? We know his omnipresence, he's with us always. But if you are in a situation, you say, I need God to like seriously show up. What are the things we can see in scripture that tend to attract the presence of God?
You've got questions. God's word has answers, and we'll take you to them next on today's Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Do you need God to intervene in your life today, to deliver you from a crisis, to guide you in the right direction, to do a miracle in the life of someone you love? If so, I'm glad you're here, because today Pastor Paul takes you to the pages of Scripture to show you how to develop a lifestyle that attracts the continuous, often miraculous, presence of God. Come see us at PastorPaul.net to listen to any recent Destined for Victory message on demand, including the one you'll hear today. That's PastorPaul.net. Let's join him now for today's message, When Pleasing God Gets You into Big Trouble.
God's presence, God's manifested presence, shows up and often has to show up when you are going through the worst time of your life. And we looked at a young man named Joseph, who in Genesis 37 had two dreams God gave him about his future, that he would be prominent. And yet he went from being a spoiled dreamer with a Versace coat that his father gave him to being thrown in a pit by his brothers who were jealous of him. But then, as God would have it, one of the brothers, Reuben, said, no, let's not do this, but let's sell him. And they saw merchants coming down the road, and they sold him, and sold him into slavery. And Joseph found himself a slave in a foreign country, Egypt. And it says specifically, but the Lord was with Joseph. And so you got to know he can be with you in the worst of times. And we talked about that. I don't have time to walk you through that. Now, I want to talk about God showing up in another way. And I want to kind of answer the question, who or what attracts the presence of God? How do you get God to show up? We know his omnipresence, he's with us always. But if you are in a situation, you say, I need God to like seriously show up. What are the things we can see in scripture that tend to attract the presence of God? Anything you see that God's attracted to, you want to get to know. Because you need him not only generally around you, you need him in your situation. And for that, I want to take you to the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 3 and look at the first 7 verses to kind of answer the question, who attracts the presence of God? What does it take for God to be attracted and to draw near with his presence? Daniel 3 verses 1 through 7. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then he summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So all those folk assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of all those instruments, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Jump down to verse 12. But there are some Jews, these are some snitches talking. You know, whenever you're trying to do the will of God, there's some snitches somewhere nearby. Here's what the snitches said. But there are some Jews whom you have set up over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. I couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. What attracts the manifested presence of God? Because you know the end of this story. You know that when they throw these three people into the furnace because they refuse to bow, that the king expected that'll be the end of them since they defied me. And you know at the end, when he looked in to the furnace, he said, we threw in three bound people. I now see people walking around and it's not three of them, it's four of them. Who's the fourth one in the fire? They didn't know Jehovah, but here was the word that came back. They said, it looks like a son of the gods. They're pagans. They don't know anything about Jehovah, but they said, whoever that fourth one is, he's not from around here. And of course, we know it was the Lord. So, in answering the question, who attracts the presence of God? Here's my answer in this message. People who are committed to pleasing God more than powerful, influential people. I just came to tell you, some of you all are still trying to figure out who you really are supposed to please. The fact of the matter is, your job on planet Earth is to please the Lord. That's why you're here. You are here to fulfill his purpose. You are here to do his will. You are here to give him glory. We are created in his image after his likeness to give him glory. And so there should be no question, no doubt, no debate. It shouldn't even take you long to answer the question. My job is to please the Lord. Plain and simple. My job is to please the Lord. And to do his will. And so you've got to understand the reason these guys got God to show up in their furnace experience was because they were locked in, sold out. No question. I'm going to do the will of God. And I just wanted to let you know that if you want to experience the manifested presence of God, you've got to settle the issue of who's in charge in your life once and for all. I'm here to please God. A lot of people live to please people. First of all, that's an exercise in futility. Because as soon as you make this group happy, you make this group mad. Soon as you get some folk to like you, you get some other folk who are haters. And so trying to please people in general, being a people pleaser, some people I know, naturally you tend toward that. If that's your natural tendency, I want you to live out of your supernatural nature in Christ. Amen. And to say, no, no, I can't be a people pleaser because I got to please God. Amen. You got to be like the apostles in the early portions of Acts when persecution was first being threatened. You remember what happened? They said, we don't want you to preach in the name of this Jesus anymore. And Peter said, wait a minute, wait now. Do you think we should obey God rather than you? Or you rather than God? The answer is we're going to obey God even if you don't like it. And they settled the issue. We're not going to stand here and debate whether we should stop preaching because you want us to stop preaching. We're going to do the will of God. And I just want to let somebody know, if you need the manifested presence of God on your job, in your home, and wherever you go, whatever you're doing, if you want to experience more of the manifested presence of God, then you've got to be as committed as these young men who, by the way, are pre-Christ. This is BC. Jesus hasn't shown up, but they have been touched by the hand of God enough to know we have been called as a nation, the Jews, we have been called to bring to pass the will of God through our nation, which of course was going to result in Jesus coming. And they said, we are servants of God. That's our identity. That's who we are. We are God's people. So we do God's will. We can't be God's people, but do your will. Some of you got to settle that. If the Old Testament saints knew how to sell out for Christ, how much more should we who know him personally? I know him for myself. He went to the cross and saved me by his grace. He is changing my life. And so I am not about to be a weakling Christian. I'm not going to be a weekend warrior, but I really have another identity. I'm going to be a full-time soldier of the cross. I'm going to serve God every day of my life, everywhere I go.
We'll be right back with more of today's Destined for Victory message with Pastor Paul Shepherd, so don't go away. If you enjoy listening to Destined for Victory, we know you'll love watching some of Pastor's best video clips by subscribing to Pastor Paul on YouTube. For more details and all of his social media, scroll to the bottom of the homepage at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net, where you can always listen on demand to recent messages and find a variety of features and resources. And Pastor Paul joins me in the studio after today's message, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. But first, let's get you back to the second half of this message, when pleasing God gets you into big trouble.
Saints, it's time out for 007 Christians. Some of y'all don't even know I'm dating myself. 007. We don't need secret agent saints. Saints that just sneak around. You know Jesus, but nobody knows you know Jesus. I'm a closet Christian. First of all, everybody out the closet. Everybody else out the closet. What you doing still in there? Have you looked around? Nobody's in the closet. They are as proud and happy to be whoever it is they are, whatever it is they do, however it is they think. It's all out in the streets, all everywhere you go. Nobody's in there but a little pitiful Christians still sneaking around your job telling me, you saved. You need to be out on the record. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm a follower of Christ. You know me. I prefer calling myself a follower of Christ. Technically, yes. According to the definitions, I suppose I could say, yes, I'm a Christian. But the way a lot of these people out here carry themselves, who call themselves Christians and even Christian leaders, I don't want to be associated with that. I'm just talking about me. This is my story. This is my song. You do whatever you want to do. I am ashamed of what a lot of what is called Christianity in the world today. Here's why. Because it has no reflection of the life and love of Jesus. How am I going to be a Christian and I don't reflect Jesus? See, they reflect more like Pharisees than they are like followers of Christ. They have a bunch of rules and regulations and all of that, but their hearts don't bear the image that God's love has transformed them. And let me stop short. I don't want to judge their hearts, but I'm sure if I can't be a judge, I think I ought to be able to be a fruit inspector. So I'm not judging you. If you know the Lord, that's between you and the Lord. All I'm saying is you need to grow some fruit. Because what I'm seeing doesn't look like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Some of the most hateful people I know say they're saved. Just as hateful as they know how to be. And anytime unbelievers see you coming and say, anytime they see you coming, no, I'm getting out of here. No, I don't need that. Well, something's wrong. Because they loved Jesus. You know the people Jesus had trouble with? Religious folk. Read the Gospels. I'll let you prove it for yourself. Just read the Gospels. Jesus was hated more by religious people than he ever was by unbelievers. Even if they didn't follow him, you don't see them going after him with a vengeance like you see the religious people doing. Why? Because Jesus was love. He was love personified. He loved people who walked away from him. You don't believe me? Ask the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler wasn't willing to pay the price. I'm not talking about a sloppy agape. I'm not talking about a love that doesn't have a standard of living. Love doesn't militate against standards. You should know how God wants you to live, and yet you should be full of love. So that if you're not ready to measure up and you walk away, nobody should be cussing you as you go. that young man came saying, what must I do? And when Jesus had to talk with him and he found out he had to surrender and sell out, he wasn't willing to do that. And he said he walked away. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him while he walked away. You need to love folk who have walked away from you. Walked away from the gospel. Walked away. You love your kids who walked away from the faith you taught them. I don't believe that anymore. I've been to college and I'm educated and I understand now. It's happening more and more in our world. More kids growing up in churches saying, no, I know better. I now have been educated. Well, your education can't prove what you think it proved, which is there is no God. There is nothing that will prove that. They don't have a test capable of that. They can't refute in the beginning God. In the beginning, bang. Well, who created the stuff that banged? That's all. Just who created the stuff that banged? Don't call me unintelligent because I believe in the beginning God and you believe in the beginning bang, because I want to know who created what banged. Because nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And so while they're not going to back me up, I went to a secular college. I went to Ivy League school, University of Pennsylvania. I got it. I had a religion professor who tried his best to separate me from my faith. He was a guy who studied to be a pastor. He was all the way. He had his PhD by the time he realized I don't believe. And he had all these years and all these educations in religion and all. And he said, well, I got to do something with this. And I'm no longer a believer and all that. So he became a professor. And he spent the rest of his career trying to separate us from our faith. And the fact of the matter is, he could never shake me from mine. Because you can't prove that God does not exist. But here's my point. But even when you disagree with people, you shouldn't be disagreeable. Don't be disagreeable. Don't cuss folk out trying to prove that you know God. And be honest with them. Even when you have your own shortcomings, be honest with folk. Because if your words aren't a witness, let your life be a witness. Let your humility, the fact that you can say you're wrong, let that be a witness. That's because God's given you character where you don't have to always be right. And so the fact is, I am coming now for you secret agent saints 007 Christians to say you got to be on the record. I am a child of God. That's who I am. That's my identity. I serve the Lord. You might think it's stupid, fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned, whatever you want to call me, uneducated. None of that is true. I just know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Follower of Jesus Christ. These men were on the record, so much so that when they were given positions of authority in this kingdom, they are given the ability to manage certain areas of the kingdom. Why? Because there were some dishonest people and Nebuchadnezzar knew it. And so he put these young men among those who would have the ability to fire folk who they found to be corrupt. So they got big shot jobs. Listen, let me say something to you. God is a God who in these closing hours of time is opening doors for believers to work on certain jobs and in certain positions so that we can have influence for his glory. And I just want to let you know to be prepared to be an influencer for Christ. Because we got influencers all over the world doing all kinds of things, but they're not influencing anybody for the better. They're influencing folk to buy products and all that stuff. It's fine. But, I mean, it is amazing to me. See, I'm born in the 50s. I'm a boomer. And it's amazing to me. People make money. You say, well, what's your job? I'm an influencer. Because old people like me say, yeah, but how do you make money? Because it doesn't ring in our minds, like, yeah, influence. We like, but what do you do? It's just the world we grew up in. We got to learn. And I'm trying to learn. Pastor, I'm really working hard. Trying to learn how to deal with it. Because no need a curse in the darkness. Sometimes we're just, Christians are just good at cursing the darkness. Oh, the whole world just going to hell. Well, what do you think you're here for? You're here to lead people away from it. So stop cursing the darkness and turn on the lights. And be a light. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are supposed to make a difference. We are supposed to influence people.
Thanks so much for being here for Pastor Paul Shepherd's Destined for Victory message, When Pleasing God Gets You into Big Trouble. Wherever you are and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. And we're approaching a very important day on the calendar. Mother's Day 2024 is right around the corner. I've always enjoyed the conversations I've had with Pastor Paul about his mom, so I've asked him to join us for just a moment. Pastor, I know your mom is still with us. She's one very special lady to all of us, including you, of course. Tell us more about Mrs. Shepherd, and then give us some counsel on why it's so important for us to encourage our moms on this day.
Well, I'm so glad that I can say the Lord has blessed me to still have my mom with me here on earth. Next month, the Lord willing, she will turn 92 years old.
Is that right?
And it is just wonderful to be able to call her. I call her every week because I don't want a week to go by when I haven't heard her voice and haven't allowed her to hear mine. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm one of five children, so she's got others she's got to think about. Yeah. But I only have one mom, so I'm going to make sure that she hears from me. Good. Every week. And she's a blessing. She was a pastor's wife. Of course, my dad was my pastor. I'm saved because of his ministry. I was trained and prepared for ministry under him and all of that. So he gets so much credit for my ministry. But to tell you the truth, the real credit has to also be shared with my mom, because she was a prayer warrior in the background, but she raised her children well. All five of us walk with the Lord. Three of us are in vocational ministry, and God gets the glory for her faithfulness and her prayer life that really has seen us through many things. And so I want to challenge and encourage all of our listeners, if your mom is still with you or a mother figure who means a lot to you, be sure that you are in touch as often as is possible to let her know how important she was and is in your world. Because the day is going to come. It's just what happens in this life that is fleeting. The day is going to come when their voices will be silenced as they transition from earth to glory. But I want to make sure to hear it as often as I can. And I want to encourage our listeners to do the same with their mothers and mother figures.
From Pastor Paul and all of us at Destined for Victory, we want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and mother figures out there. And to children, remember, you're never too old or too young to let your mothers know how much they are loved and appreciated. Well, we've got a great new resource to share with you today, a booklet from Pastor Paul Shepherd called Plenty of Questions But No Answers. If God has ever seemed distant, if he was silent at a time when you desperately needed him to speak, you'll want to contact us right away and request this outstanding resource. You'll find plenty of encouragement and direction inside these pages, along with a greater understanding of God's nature and character. That's Plenty of Questions But No Answers, our thank you gift today by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory. Please call us at 855-339-5500. That's 855-339-5500. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. And you can mail your gift to Destined for Victory, P.O. Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
If you are going to experience the manifested presence of God, you have to live with much more of a God consciousness than you do of a people consciousness.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Identifying Idols in Our Lives. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.